As power bills keep rising for households, the energy sector is warning it might, in fact, be the calm before the storm. According to a new survey, energy retailers, generators and investors are calling for a more open and honest dialogue about the challenges and costs of the transition to decarbonise. One unnamed CEO has declared in the survey that Australians already struggling to pay their power bills are going to, quote, get slammed with more cost. Louisa Kinnear heads the Australian Energy Council, which is releasing the report today. Louisa, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks, Sally. Thanks for having me.
What's the message from this report?
So effectively, I think what our members are saying is that there's obviously very broad support for net zero and emissions reductions from across our members. But we also need to make sure that we're upfront with the community about the fact that there are still costs associated with replacing aging generation over time, even though renewables are cheaper.
So what does that mean for consumers?
So effectively for consumers, I think what we're saying is that there might be, I think, some challenges in reducing bills significantly, particularly in the near term. And that's really as a result of the fact that we need to continue to invest in a lot of new infrastructure in order to replace that ageing coal-fired generation.
We've heard some members of the coalition talking about flooding the market, that if there's a big increase in supply, that prices will come down. Is that practical or possible?
Look, it depends on what you're increasing the supply with. So certainly wind generation in particular, we know that if we get large amounts of wind generation into the system in the next 5 years, that is very useful for replacing coal because of the way that it generates electricity, but it is also lower cost than some of the existing generation sources. So it's very true if you're looking at certain types of generation that can drive down lower cost, like wind, but it wouldn't necessarily be true if you're introducing more expensive forms of energy generation into the system.
So if you were to increase the generation of coal-fired or gas-powered electricity, is that likely to meet that model of flooding the market with energy and bringing the prices down?
Look, it would be very, very difficult, I think, to stand up a new coal-fired power station in the current environment and do that in a really low-cost and efficient way. So I think it would be very challenging to introduce coal or even, to be honest, extend and invest in existing coal without it impacting prices.
Why is that?
And that's really because I think when you look at the ageing assets that are there, the cost to operate and maintain them beyond their technical life is actually very significant. We're already seeing some state governments supporting those existing coal-fired power stations to stay open longer for reliability reasons, and that does add cost to the system.
So should coal-fired power stations be extended more for a means of reliability rather than bringing prices down?
Yeah, look, at this stage, certainly we want to make sure that we're not taking energy out of the system if it's still required. And so while the coal-fired power stations are still there, that is certainly one option to keep them going until there's enough renewables in the system supported by other technologies like gas, battery storage and pumped hydro.
Ageing coal-fired power stations are, as you say, reaching the end of their lifespan. Regardless of what they're replaced with, it requires lots of investment. Do political leaders need to be more upfront with people that cost increases are inevitable?
I think obviously we'd love to see prices come down, and that's not to say that they won't into the future. I think the challenge we have is when there are announcements from governments around new policies and tying these announcements to cheaper energy bills is often quite tricky. And that is because there are a number of different elements that drive prices and electricity prices, and it can be very difficult to predict where they're going to go. So I think we're encouraging governments and the opposition to really engage actively with industry to understand what the implications are of policies and make sure that they're appropriately costed and understood.
Were you consulted by the opposition as they put their policy together?
We haven't spoken to them directly about their policy. We have had a number of conversations in the lead up, but certainly not in the last few weeks.
Okay, but you were involved, they consulted with you while they were formulating the policy?
We've been briefing them at times throughout the last few months, but certainly we haven't been heavily involved in the development of their policy at all.
The policy, as far as we understand it, is it a practical a solution to the current challenges that the energy market is facing?
I think the challenge that we have is that we are now on a trajectory for a high renewable system supported by gas, battery storage and pumped hydro. And that is generally going to deliver the lowest cost outcome. I think if we're going to try and deviate from that again right now, it creates a lot of investment uncertainty. And I think you may not actually deliver lower prices if you change course now.
Why is that?
And that's really, again, because I think keeping coal open for longer is likely to increase costs rather than decrease costs. And it also then means that there's not the right market signals for new renewable investment to come in because coal is still sitting there in the system.
What's the greater cost for the transition if investment is delayed or there's uncertainty there?
Yeah, this becomes very challenging. So if we continue to delay investment or there's uncertainty around investing, then you do end up with a system that will be challenged not just on a cost basis, but on a reliability basis. As I said, we can't keep coal in the system forever. There are some coal plants that can run for a longer time and are a bit more reliable, but there's a large proportion that do need to exit by 2035, and we can't delay that.
What's the key message that you're delivering to politicians?
I think stay the course. We know that a renewable system supported by gas, battery storage and pumped hydro is going to deliver the lowest cost system, and we need to keep that in mind as we move forward with policy developments.
Louisa, thank you very much.
Thanks, Sally.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast, and my guest there was Louisa Kinnear from the Australian Energy Council, which represents major energy companies. Coming up on AM, divided by the energy policy debate, is the Liberal Party getting ready to flick the switch on Susan Lee's leadership? Sabra Lane will be speaking with the opposition leader. And after 7:30, I'll be joined by the leader of the Nationals, David Littleproud, and the chief executive of the Australian Industry Group, Innes Willocks. You'll also be hearing from the National Farmers Federation as well, the Federation's reaction to the Coalition's energy and climate policy. That and much more, plus Changing Australia after 8 this morning. News time now, it is 7 o'clock.